2020 just gets even better. We now have institutions in the United States, not just colleges or universities, not just the Southern Baptist Convention, hashtag Resolution 9, but we have businesses that are openly endorsing Marxism, communist socialism, all of the above. They're raising their fists, endorsing the most destructive philosophy, the most life-taking philosophy, quantifiably, in the history of the world. Hundreds of millions of people have died under the banner of this fist. And we have organizations, institutions, businesses in the United States raising their fists in solidarity in the support of this. We're going to talk about this today because it's a really big deal. It's a really big deal. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show with a friend, part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to flfnetwork.com, become a member, get $100 off your convention conference ticket, October 1st through the 3rd. You don't want to miss it, guys. I'd love to meet you. Love to say hi. I am probably sounding a little off today. I have the worst migraine in the world. I got the blurred vision, which I thought my eyes were failing me at first. It started with blurred vision before my headache started really hurting. And then I got the nauseousness and I got the headache, of course. And so my head earlier felt like it was in a vice on a 1 to 10 scale of an 8. Then my lovely wife fixed me some breakfast and got me some nutrients. Now it feels like a 5. So it looks like it's doable, but pray for me. And hopefully this gets better. I get to do Reformgelical tonight. Two podcasts with the migraine. Doesn't feel that great. All right, let's get into this because, again, this is a big deal. It is one thing to have the Marxist and the communist, the philosophies in the universities. But what we have seen as, and even I saw before I went to record this, Glenn Beck was sharing, I don't listen to him that much anymore, but I saw on Twitter where somebody, a teacher, gave him 800 pages of documents where Marxism, communist socialism is being integrated and pushed and just, what's the word for it, fire hosed into our kids, into our training curriculum, into our indoctrination. And it's just insane. I don't know how you can send your kid to public school anymore. And I've been saying that for a long time. And what we are getting from that indoctrination, because it doesn't just start, it's been happening for a long time, a lot more subtly than in 2020. And that's why I'm so thankful for God's judgment, because it brings clarity. I'm learning that it makes people take a side. You're no longer allowed to be on the fence. So praise God for that truth in the judgment of the God. And it is forcing people to pick sides. And the NBA did that. Well, to be specific, it's not the NBA. I'm going to add this here. I'm sharing my screen here. The revolution will be televised. The NBPA, the National Basketball Players Association, the union for the players. No doubt you've heard the NBA started again. Actually, I didn't even know the NBA was started again. Oh, I don't like basketball. I only like the Michael Jordan era. But apparently the basketball season started again, and then they stopped because of the protest over the last victim, or I shouldn't say victim. We don't know if he's a victim. The last person that was shot by a police officer who happened to be black, which, by the way, the other person, George Floyd, turns out he had a lot of drugs in his system. Interesting. But that's neither here nor there. So they sent out on Twitter the fist. Now you can see it. The revolution will be televised. Now this is the Marxist communist language. This is the verbiage that they use. The revolution will be televised. And it's a business, a sports institution that is openly throwing up the fist of not only Black Lives Matter, but of the communist, the socialist, the Marxist. Let's see if you can see this now. Yeah, I switched to it, trying out new technology. Look how similar this is, because it's the same. and you don't just happen upon the same fist, the same style, the same lines, the same angles by accident. It isn't just, oh, it just happened to be the same. And I don't even think they would say that anymore. I don't even think they would try to hide it anymore because they are up raising their fists for the revolution that will be televised according to the NBPA, the National Basketball Players Association. This is not about protests. I know my mind's been thinking a lot about battle because one of you listeners, a Marine who recommended the book, or actually told me the book that I was referencing when I was really referencing a movie, but the movie was pulled from this one colonel. On Combat was the book. Grossman is his name. I've been listening to him and his talks all day and I just forgot his name, but and so I've been thinking about a lot about war, and I always find it fascinating going back to the days where war was honorable. And you think about how the British fought in the Revolutionary War versus the Guerrilla War, where you would line up and there was honor. You didn't go after the officers. You went after you aimed after the people that weren't officers, the just the ordinary soldiers. And how that is evolved. It's evolved into World War One, where all of the romance of war was gone. The fighting in the trenches with the tanks that were implemented and the chemical warfare and all that stuff. World War II, agonizing, horrible, terrible. And then it evolved even more into guerrilla tactics into Vietnam and the paramilitary, the press, the public opinion polls of war. I mean, the reason we lost Vietnam was because our press and the Democrat Party undercut us. And then it became a terrorist war where we were fighting terrorism. And of course, there was the Cold War through all that too with the Russians, where we were basically trying to out-innovate and outspend each other. And we eventually won that war. And then there is the terrorist war. And now it's changed once again. And while thinking back in history and seeing the transitions of how these wars transitioned from one phase to another, I always wondered, when did we realize that the transition happened, was happening, and when it is no longer what it was in the past? I'm going to take this down real quick because I always forget to do that. I'm just going to remove that from the screen so you can see me again. I wonder when it's happened. I wonder when we realized it. Because it's changed again. And I don't know when it started, but it is definitely here now. The enemy, the Cold War enemy, the Russians, the Chinese, the Marxists, the Communists, the Leninists, the Socialists, are no longer trying to beat America on the battlefield. They're no longer trying to beat us as much through terrorism, I believe. Although terrorists do still exist, I'm not saying there's not a problem anymore. I'm not saying it's still not a threat anymore. But the main threat to the United States and the enemy is the battlefield of the mind. That is the philosophies that are warring against us, that have integrated and been implemented and been a part of our own institutions. They are started from Germany and the Frankfurt School, which the Germans, I'm going to be very stereotypical right now. The Germans are phenomenal engineers. They can engineer the most amazing technology that only probably rivals Israel in their inventions, quite honestly. They are the worst philosophers in the world. The most destructive ideologies, the most destructive philosophies come from Germany. Not all of them do, but if there's ever a philosophy that is created from Germany, be wary, beware. The Marxist evolution from the struggle from the rich class and the poor class evolved from Frankfurt into power dynamics and power struggles in different contrasts, I should say, from power to different Marxist, the critical race theory and the things that we are dealing with today. And that all is being leveraged and used and has been integrated from Germany into our institutions, which then trickle down into our lower levels of education, which entrained and indoctrinated people in America to hate America at its core from what it is, the foundation, the Christian principles, to the economic structure that has lifted people out of poverty, capitalism, and the republic for which we stand. The Constitution has been shredded under the guise of a living document. The courts have become supreme over the checks and balances of the other branches of government. And see, in World War II, we won because we could outproduce anyone. Not because necessarily our generals were the best, although Patton, hat tip, you are the best. But not because we had the greatest strategy, not even because we had the greatest things, but we were able to outproduce. And we won the Cold War because we were able to out-innovate and our economy was able to outspend the Russians. We were able to beat back the terrorists. We were able to implement a democracy, even how messy and terrible it was. I mean, ours isn't that much better. We were able to beat any external enemy. And I believe people realized that the only way that we were going to fall was eternally and internally from within. And that is exactly what's happening. That is exactly what's happening right now. But it's far greater than just a physical war. Remember, we are under the guise of a spiritual battle, and we have to first start at the highest levels, the context of why things are happening in this world. It's because there's a cosmic spiritual battle happening between not good and evil, but God and Satan. And in that the highest levels, we fall under those two camps. Either God is our father or Satan is our father. And I think Jesus contrasts that so well in the Gospels. And so we have these people, we have these institutions, it's gone down, it's been taught to our kids, and now we have generations of Marxist socialists who hate wealth, even though they are privileged by it, even though they are blessed with it, even though they use it, they hate it. And we have a generation of executive business people, teachers in our institutions, people in our government that are all raising the Marxist fist. And going back to the high level, to prove my point that this is all a spiritual war, to quote Karl Marx on religion, he said that religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of the soulless condition. It is the opium of the people. The abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of the people is the demand for their real happiness. You see that fist being raised is solidarity, yes. But what are they being solidified under? How are they coming together? And it's to raise their fist against God. And now we have a business raising their fist with them. No wonder the NBA won't say anything against China. It's not just about the money. They have the same Marxist communist ideology. No wonder they won't speak out about the oppression, the murder, the concentration camps. No wonder they won't talk about Hong Kong and China, because they're as totalitarian as the Chinese are. You see, the enemy is now in the midst of us. It's within the gates. Spiritually, physically, politically, even in our businesses. And I wonder, Christian Marxists, Christians that are supporting Black Lives Matter, will you put your fist down and submit again to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to continue to unify with Black Lives Matter, who has the same symbol as the NBPA, the same symbol as Russia, the same symbol as China, that rejects God's rule altogether, rejects natural law, rejects the way God created us, rejects the rights that he bestowed upon us. And yet we have Christians sympathizing with the language, with the plays, with the battles to further supplant our society, our civilization. Big Eva, liberal Christians, what side are you on? What side are you on? Have a good weekend. Get some rest. Enjoy the Sabbath. Go worship the Lord in person with your church, with the church. Worship is warfare. We need to be recharged. We need to eat the bread. We need to drink the wine. We need communion with God. We need to come together and worship and celebrate so we can recharge and hit the battlefield again. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow.